Good morning, everyone. It is Tuesday, August 29th, 2017, and we are 2 days away from the Green Bay Packers' final exhibition game against the Los Angeles Rams. Of course, they played the Denver Broncos over the weekend, and today they will have their last public practice of training camp. I believe it's 11:45 at Ray Nitschke Field. So for those of you in Wisconsin, the last chance to see the Packers is later today. My name is Michael Cohen, and this is the Packers Podcast. I'm here with colleague Tom Silverstein, and we're out of ideas, so we solicited questions, and we've got some, because this is the point in training camp where my notebook's pretty bare, Tom.
Oh, were you talking to me? Sorry, I was sleeping through that. it is that time where we've talked about everything. We've hashed through every single possible position group, and I don't know, we've analyzed it down to the toenails, and I think we're ready for the regular season. But yes, I'm ready to answer some questions.
Bring it hard. So we got a few about Ahmad Brooks. Let's just start there.
That's a good place to start.
Okay, so first of all, I mean, you've seen Ahmad Brooks play. You've seen him play the Packers. Maybe not necessarily what is he now, but what was he at his best?
Yeah, during his heyday, I thought he was a really underrated player in that defense. It was an interesting defense that the 49ers ran, not a typical 3-4. They weren't a big blitzing team. They really did not need to blitz, and they felt like they could – they felt like they were so quick and so easy to – so capable of covering the field that their outside linebackers and inside linebackers, they had Patrick Willis and Brooks, and they would just kind of drop back in a zone and dare you to throw it over the middle. And if you wanted to check down, those guys would come after you like nobody's business. And Ahmad Brooks is just a tough, tough, quick, pursuing linebacker. Now, he's 32 years old and has a lot of miles on him. But for what the Packers do, he's not going to be a put your hand down and rush linebacker, but he is going to be someone who can fight against the run. He can pursue, give them some athletic ability. I think it would be a good signing if they're able to get him.
So this is a guy that is third all-time for the 49ers in sacks with 51.5. And I think dating back to 2008 or 9, he's had at least 5 sacks in every season.
Yeah.
Now, you look at Matthews and Perry, and the Packers would hope that their sack totals would be higher than 5. But when you look at Fackrell and Elliott and Gilbert and Beagle, I don't think it's unreasonable to think that if Brooks came in and got 5 or 6 sacks, that might finish third on the team.
Yeah. Oh. Probably. I mean, Mike Daniels, I expect Mike Daniels to have a higher total this year. I'm not sure what Matthews will finish with. I doubt Perry will get as many as he did last year. But I think the goal for them is to have 4 guys with 5 or more sacks.
So why are they doing this? 5. Why are they bringing him in? Why are they kicking the tires on this guy?
Well, because they know that Perry and Matthews are not going to stay healthy the whole year. It's just, you can't roll the dice on that. It's not going to happen. The history tells you it's not going to happen. After that, who is your next guy who can give you something more than just an average performance? Say what you will about Dayton Jones last year, but that guy had more quarterback hits per play than anybody else on the team. And he may not have been the flashiest guy, but he did create pressure, and they need a guy like that. I'm still not sure why they didn't re-sign him. It's a mystery to me.
Were you more surprised about him leaving or Peppers?
I was more surprised about Dayton Jones because I didn't think he was an expensive guy, and I felt Peppers was one of those where you get rid of a guy a year too early, and I think they just weren't going to pay him what he was going to want. But why they couldn't pay Dayton Jones, I don't know. And I'm not sure what he's done. I haven't followed him in Minnesota. But I still think that a lot of their problems would be solved if he were still here.
One of the things that I was curious about is – there's, at least in my 3 years here, there's been a couple examples of the Packers bringing in guys that have had a lot of success against them in, from other teams. Mm-hmm. Is that something traditionally that they've done where they feel so, I don't know if prideful is the right word, but when somebody has an extremely good track record against them or, you know, can put up game after game of success, do they become interested in that player afterward? Like, I don't know what Peppers did in Chicago, but that's one that came to mind.
Yeah, well, I think they do become familiar with guys. They should be very familiar with Ahmad Brooks. They had to game plan against him and the rest of that defense how many times? Twice a year for two straight years and two playoff games. I think they know him and what he can do. I think they knew Peppers from playing him twice a year. I think, you know, they knew what Martellus Bennett could do. They played against him. They've played against Kendricks. So, yeah, I think there is something to not only them doing some, you know, performing well, but just seeing them time after time and knowing their games.
So, from you, the outside linebacker position overall, you of course have Perry and Matthews. Let's just assume for the sake of argument they do bring in Brooks. Mm-hmm. Then you have Brooks, Fackrell, and Elliott. Do you agree at this point that it looks like Beagle is going to start on the PUP and they won't have him for 6 weeks?
Yeah, I didn't know what to make of McCarthy's comments on him yesterday, just kind of playing it coy. We'll find out today whether he's going to practice, but I think he will. I just can't imagine carrying a guy who can't really help you very much for the first 6 weeks. Let him, you know, work out and get ready for the season. If you can get a guy like Brooks, let him be that guy right now. And then Beagle, there's less pressure for Beagle to be on the field right away. And he's got plenty of time to have some sort of contribution. Brooks can do it right away, assuming they can sign him.
One of the things that I remembered from last year is that I think that Capers really enjoyed having six outside linebackers. I think that number suited him pretty well because he had a clear first, second, and third unit. And I know that, you know, he'll mix and match guys at times, but there were also a lot of instances where he kept the same two people together. It was Clay and Nick, and then it was Julius and Dayton, and then it was Kyler and Jayron. And so even if Beagle is healthy, you know, aside from Reggie Gilbert, discounting him for a moment, you still only have five. And so I wonder if he would like Brooks just for the fact that it would give him a sixth and he can have three pairs. Is there anything to that, do you think?
I think it really comes down to just players, how the roster breaks in. I think you'd like six because you can't count on Matthews and Perry staying healthy. On the other hand, I can see him wanting to keep six defensive linemen instead of five, because you're going to have to you got to keep a spot for Montrevious Adams. I don't think they're going to put him on IR. It's a possibility, but I still think he can contribute, and he's probably not that far away from practicing. He's probably a week or two away. I think you got to keep a guy like Brian Price. I think you can't go into the season with one true nose tackle, and I think he's played well enough to make the team. So I kind of think they'll go six defensive line, and maybe if they can sign Brooks, then I think five linebackers would be enough, outside linebackers.
Last thing on this topic before we jump to the next question. Let's say Beagle practices later today in their last public practice. Mm-hmm. If he's on the field today and he's mostly uninhibited, what are the chances that he plays in week one, having essentially four full professional practices in his entire career?
Almost zero. I think he would be brought along. He'd be one of the inactives for probably the first couple weeks. And it wouldn't hurt them. Now, some of that depends on Nick Perry's injury, Jayron Elliott's injury. If those two guys are a little iffy, then they got to find someone who can play, because they don't have enough guys if that's the case. Then they better, if they're really worried about Nick Perry, and they haven't given that indication, and I didn't get that indication after the game, but with Jaron Elliott, you don't know what his back is really like. Those back injuries are tough. They probably better not get cheap on Ahmad Brooks. They better probably pony up and sign him.
All right, the next question we have comes from Anthony Katz, and Anthony wants to know, have any of the running backs started to separate themselves in the ground game?
Yeah, I wrote about that yesterday, and I thought that Aaron Jones took a nice jump forward. I think he and Jamal Williams sort of carved out their little niches. I think Jamal Williams showed that he could be a third down back. Right now he's not. He's not producing on the ground. I thought Aaron Jones, he slowed down a little bit and made some really nice cuts, really nice zone read type cuts. I think we're going to see a little bit more of him. I would say that right now they want Jamal Williams to be that number two guy, but he hasn't been very productive. And if he doesn't run the ball well in this last game and Aaron Jones does, then I see Aaron Jones kind of taking a step ahead of him.
I've gotten a lot of questions during OTAs and even over the summer about what's a good over-under number in terms of touches for Ty Montgomery, if assuming he's healthy and not fumbling. And the number that I keep coming back to, people keep saying, well, what about 15? And I say, no way. I don't think he gets 15 touches a game because I think he's probably only going to carry it 10, 11 times, and then I don't see him necessarily averaging 4 to 5 receptions a game, because the way I look at it is I feel like the Packers tend to run the ball about 25 to 28 times a game.
If
maybe.
You're unlucky, and that's including Roger scrambles.
Exactly, really. And that's what I'm getting to. So if you set aside maybe 10 for Montgomery, 2 for Ripkowski, 4 for Rodgers, you're at 16 right there, and then that's with 0 for Williams or Jones or anybody else. Randall Cobb, whoever they put back there. And so I find it hard to believe that he gets to 15, because even Lacy struggled to get to 15 in certain games.
Yeah, I think you're a little low with 10. I can see Montgomery being right around, they'd like to get him 15. I think they'd like to get him 15 carries. If he runs anything like he did with that kind of violence, then they'll run him. Question is, can he stay healthy? I also think he's going to be sort of be able to do what Jamal Williams did in the passing game, which is leak out and cause some confusion. It'll be interesting to see what his touches are. I would want to get the ball in his hands 15 times.
I agree. I think they should get him that. I don't know. Based on, you know,
you're
McCarthy.
Not confident. Yeah. Well, I wouldn't be either. I wouldn't bet on it.
I just kind of think that I think this offense by week 4 or 5 looks a lot like it did toward the end of last season, where Rodgers is throwing 40 times a game, because I think they have so many weapons there and Rodgers is playing at such a good level that I think McCarthy can't help himself sometimes.
Yeah, no question. I think the difference this year is that there's going to be a series or two every game where they line up with two tight ends. And if they have some success running the ball, then they'll just pound it for a little bit. I really do believe that. And then
do they have to be winning for that to happen?
Not necessarily. They have to be in the game. They could be behind. But I really think that one of the ways that you open up the passing game, of course, is running the ball. But doing it with two tight ends is a way to kind of wear down a team. And then at some point you can start using those tight ends as receivers. And then you start bringing in receivers and you kind of soften up the defense a little bit. So I think there could be a couple of series where, you know, if they're getting first downs, Montgomery could get like 5, 6 carries in a series.
It's definitely something to keep an eye on, and we'll see which of the young guys can put together a second solid performance Thursday night against the Rams. The next question, we got two about Hundley, so I'll sort of combine them into one. Okay. Basically, they want to know, if Rodgers were to go down, can Hundley be serviceable? And B, based on the way he's played so far, I know we talked about this before, but what now do we think his trade market would be?
I think his trade market is not very high. I think nobody's out begging to get Brett Hundley right now. If he had really torn it up this preseason, then I think maybe some teams would be considering it. But I'd be lucky if I think they'd be lucky if they get an offer of anything above a 4th, 5th round, something like that.
How about the second part? If Rodgers were to get hurt, has he shown enough that he can at least get you through a game or win a couple games?
I haven't seen it. I think he's good enough. I mean, is he better than Scott Tolzien? Yeah, I think you'd say that. But I just, you know, when you got into that two-minute drill, you wanted to see him just through hook or crook move the ball down and score, and he couldn't do it. And I know the offensive line was horrible, and he didn't have any time. But, you know, and you can't count on his receivers either. But some way or another, Taysom Hill finds a way to move the team down twice in really key situations. And I think I haven't seen that from Hundley.
And Hundley wasn't pressured on the interception that got called back due to that, you know, offside penalty where he got really lucky. That wasn't a free play. That was a guy that was lined up marginally offside. And he sailed that ball over Pearson's head by a mile.
Yeah.
And so my thing with Hundley is that he is capable of making some really, really nice throws. I mean, that throw he made to Janice in Washington was terrific. He has some really nice plays in practice on slants, whether it's to Allison or McCaffrey. But there seem to be like two or three throws a practice or two or three throws a game that are so puzzling that I think against a starting defense, all of them could turn into turnovers.
Yeah, and we talked about this before, but every time he rolls out, and kind of scrambles like what Rodgers does, he never completes a pass.
He gets to the sideline and throws it away.
Yeah, either he's not willing to take the chance or he's not confident in being able to be accurate with it. I don't know. Or he's not finding guys. But even in practice, you don't see it. And that's where you should see it. You should see him rolling out and finding somebody.
All right, let's move to the inside linebackers for a second. Somebody asked, if Josh Jones plays well enough, does he make any of the inside linebackers expendable?
Right now, he's not playing well enough to take an inside linebacker's job permanently. I think Morgan Burnett will see the majority of that time, and with the way Kentrell Bryce is playing, that those will be the three safeties. Burnett in the middle, in that inside linebacker position, Bryce, and then Clinton Dix. And I think they could get away with having one fewer inside linebackers than normal, but I wouldn't.
I mean, they only kept three last year. I don't think they'd go to two.
No, I don't think so either. I still think you got to keep two guys who can play the run. Two guys who can get in there and mix it up a little bit with linemen. Joe Thomas is borderline on that. I think you may have to keep Ryan Martinez and Joe Thomas and see what happens. You don't know that Nitro defense is going to work. We've seen it in practice, and we've seen it in exhibition games, but we haven't seen it in the heat of the moment.
Now, this question was framed in regard to the 53-man roster, but one of the things you and I have discussed is what is the potential that by the end of the year Josh Jones could take an inside linebacker's job? You know, by the time he's had 4 months in the system and can develop, do you think that he has the potential to be, I guess, a dime linebacker where he could be the only one in there in a dime situation?
Yeah, ultimately I do, yeah. Now, whether that happens this year, He's got to play himself into playing time. He has to sort of do what you've seen other guys, Geronimo Allison, kind of play themselves to the point where they go, we got to get this guy involved. We got to find a place for him. And I think ultimately Josh Jones could do that. I think he could be a dime-type linebacker. I think he's perfectly suited for that. And he'd be perfect for that, but he's got to be able to know all his assignments. That's a key position. It took Joe Thomas quite a while to be reliable at that position.
It took him to get cut once.
Yeah,
and to go to Dallas and then come back.
And still, he still has some trouble in coverage, but he's pretty reliable. They know what they have with him.
One of the things that I'm sort of intrigued with Josh Jones is something that I'm also sort of curious about with Kentrell Bryce, and that is when the real games start, can they avoid looking for the big shot constantly and trying to hit guys so hard that either A, maybe they get caught up in play action, or B, they try and lower their shoulder and they end up missing some tackles or grazing some guys? Because you see it with Bryce. There's a lot of times where he flies through the line of scrimmage and he'll miss a guy, or he'll hit a guy one time and then miss him the next. And, and even with penalties, I wonder too if those guys are the type that could rack up some personal fouls.
I think they have the young guy, young guy-itis. You know, when Clinton Dix first got here, he missed so many tackles trying to take kill shots. And it took Darren Perry to tell him, you know, stop, don't take the kill shot unless you're sure you can get the guy down. And now he doesn't do that quite as often. And I think that's just something that Bryce will have to mature into. That was his first year. I think he knows now that to stay on the field, he's got to bring the guy down. You know, you don't mind him coming up and popping a guy once in a while, but do it, you know, within the context of being able to actually tackle a guy and get him down and be a safety, which is the last line of defense, as they say.
So last year we saw two examples of Ted Thompson deciding to claim guys off waivers either late in camp or after his 53. He dropped Tim Maste and picked up Jacob Shum at punter, and then after his 53-man cuts, he got rid of Brandon Burks and brought in Jarrell Presley from Minnesota.
So this, boy, good memory.
I know. I almost forgot about Burks.
I mean, Presley lasted, what, one game?
Yeah.
All in one game?
Yeah, and he was inactive.
And then who did they replace him with?
Well, so there was a lot of speculation about that. So they brought him in. He had been with the Vikings, and they were playing the Vikings in week two.
Yeah.
So, you know.
That's right.
That happens a lot. But this particular person wanted to know, is this a situation where Ted could mine the waiver wire for potential O-line depth, given the fact that their second stringers are having such a difficult time? You're probably not going to find a starter on the waiver wire, but could they find anyone that's better depth-wise?
Yes. They could, but let's get this straight. You're not going to find an offensive tackle. You're just not going to find a real good offensive tackle, because if he is any good, he's gone. Tackles are so critical. Now, you might be able to find a guard who someone has given up on. Maybe they feel, you know, it's almost like a Jari Evans type. There might be a guy who has a lot of wear on his on the tread, but maybe he's got enough left to be a backup somewhere. I just think you can't give up on Spriggs and you can't give up on Murphy because he's had a bad camp. He's too good of an athlete. He's a second-round pick. He can turn this around. You just can't completely give up on him. At some point, you have to have a little trust in him.
But they've got to be concerned about what they have behind Lindsley, Evans, and Lane Taylor, right?
I mean, yes.
I don't see who they can put in there right now that they can count on to get them through a game.
Murphy would – I honestly think that Murphy would guy at the right guard.
Okay.
He would be their right guard.
Who would be their left guard? Spriggs?
Boy, I just don't think you go there with him. I don't know why, but he was okay, but – he's just not got a guard body.
Right.
Maybe you could train Murphy to do that. Maybe you could move Lane Taylor over there and put Murphy in at right guard.
Murphy did play left tackle in college, so it's not like he hasn't played on the left side, just not
correct.
A guard.
Now, Barkley's another option. Barkley needs to stay inside, and he's not a great player. We all know that. He's a backup. I actually thought he had an okay camp until he got hurt at center. And that might wind up being his best position. But if Barkley is healthy and it seems like he's getting there, then they can take a little bit of a chance. And in a pinch, they could play Barkley outside or Murphy outside and move Bulaga to left tackle.
I think the big problem is Lindsley. You know, if Lindsley gets hurt, I don't know what they do at center for a reliable, you know, extended period of time.
Long term.
And so my question to you is, do you think that either Lucas Patrick or Justin McCray makes the 53-man roster simply because they don't have anybody else to snap the football?
Not after what I saw on Saturday night. I was high on McCray, and then something just – maybe he just finally got exposed, but he had a really bad game. And Patrick, I've just never been a believer in Patrick. He's a really tough guy, and he's really given it his all at center. But I just don't think you can trust either of those guys right now. And I think all their chips are probably with Barkley. If Barkley's not ready to play, boy, then you got an interesting situation. Who the heck can play backup center? I don't know.
Brett Goode.
Yeah. Then maybe you have to go and get somebody. And it couldn't be anybody all that great because – you know, if they're getting cut, they're getting cut for a reason. I don't know.
Now, this particular person that asked about the O-line also asked a different question, but I think it relates more to running backs or skill position players. And he wanted to know, I can't really answer this, maybe you can, does McCarthy's complicated offense prevent them from picking up players on the waiver because it takes a long time to learn?
At what position?
The skill positions, I assume.
No, I don't think so. I think running backs in particular can fit in. Anybody who's run a zone scheme can fit in pretty quickly. Wide receiver, a veteran can come in. They just have to kind of learn what Rodgers likes. You have to learn a little bit of how they react to coverages, you know, what they expect, and some terminology. But no, I don't think it's so complicated that skill guys can't fit in.
Okay, and since we've gone through a lot of the roster positions, let's end on one from – who asked this question? Let me see here. Club Shed. That's a good name there. Club Shed wants to know, who are some candidates for the practice squad? So I think Max McCaffrey.
Max McCaffrey for sure.
Malachi Dupree?
Yep.
What about Yancey?
If he doesn't make it, he is. Yeah.
Do you think he makes it? I mean, he hasn't done much since that second game where he looked pretty good.
No, and – they could very well be stashing him a little bit. I don't know why anyone would pick him up based on what they've seen, because you haven't seen enough of him.
Just because he's a fifth, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Crockett, I think, is definitely – Monte Crockett is definitely one. I think Devontae Mays won't make it, and I think he's a practice squad guy. I think Isaiah Lunsford is a guy they'll keep around.
What about Christian Ringo, a guy that is on the border of the 53?
Yeah, he really is. He's had a good camp, I think. But let's see. Let's go through that. So that's – if they keep him and Price, is that six or seven?
So you have Daniels, Clark, Lowry, Jean-Francois, Montrevious Adams, yeah, Price, and Ringo.
Seven.
That's seven.
I don't know how you keep seven. I really don't.
So I think it comes down to Price or Ringo.
Yes, it does. It does.
And no, I think they're going to go Price.
Or whether they decide to put Adams on IR.
True.
And then they can bring him back later.
Has Ringo shown enough to get claimed by somebody? He's been on the 53 for a year.
He's good enough that I do think someone will claim him, because defensive linemen just aren't. They just don't grow on trees, and I think he's had a pretty good pass rushing camp. I don't know how they let him go, but they gotta. I just can't see letting go of Price. They gotta have another nose.
He had two forced fumbles in this last game.
Yeah. One of those was that guy ran into the back of his. Wasn't that the one? Or I think they gave it to Ringo, but he recovered it. Price recovered that fumble. Either way, he's had a good camp, and I just think you got to have two nose tackles.
So one of the things that I think is really interesting about this practice squad is we mentioned Yancey, Dupree, Crockett, and we didn't even get to Michael Clark. Can they keep four receivers on the practice squad?
Good point. Yes.
And then McCaffrey. That'd be five.
You said Dupree,
Yancey,
Clark,
Crockett, McCaffrey.
McCaffrey.
They got five guys.
Wow. No, they can't do that. They can't keep five
guys. Could they keep
four? You got to practice with those guys. Those are guys who, you know, play scout team for you.
Even four, I don't know.
I don't think you can keep four either.
So then what do you do?
It's very possible that Yancey will make the team. So they're going to keep seven wideouts. So right now you got Nelson, you got Cobb, you got Adams, you got Allison, you got Janis.
Davis. And Allison suspended for a game.
Right. Okay. So maybe you could keep Yancey.
And hope somebody gets hurt before Allison has to come back?
Yeah, or you just want to get him past the week so that teams have their rosters set and then they decide, okay.
So he'd be more likely to sneak through waivers.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Yancey could fill Allison's spot, and then you could keep Clark for a week. You know, it wouldn't hurt to do it. But, yeah, you can't – I don't – with 10 practice squad guys, could you keep four wide receivers?
I don't think so, because then if you also want to keep a quarterback, assuming one of those guys sneaks through waivers, and you want to keep Devontae Mays, right there you've used five guys on offense without addressing offensive line, tight end, anything.
Yeah,
I just don't see it.
You've got to have guys to practice on defense. So, yeah, I agree with you.
So the defensive side of the ball, Donatello Brown?
Probably the best chance of all those guys, yeah.
Jonathan Calvin.
I seem to be biased on him. Every year, McGinn and I used to do this too. We'd pick a guy who we thought was going to make, you know, thought would have a good camp and surprise. And this year, my guy was Jonathan Calvin, just because he's a big guy. He's fast. He's good on special teams. He's not going to make the team, but. He is definitely worth practice squad, in my opinion.
Jordan Tripp?
He's going to make the team.
Even with the concussion?
I think so.
Because he'd be four traditional inside backers.
He would be, yeah. And he's really good in special teams.
I think it's hard to keep him.
The players really like him, too.
I think it's hard to keep him off the 53.
Do you?
I think he's going to make it. I do. I agree.
I do, too. I just don't know if you want to keep four inside backers.
Do you think that they would keep McCray or Patrick again if they had a chance?
No.
So you think those guys are gone?
Those guys are gone, yeah.
So who do they have then for a project on the O-line? Amici?
No, he's not going to make it.
Not even on the practice squad?
Oh, on the practice squad? Oh, you're talking practice squad.
Yeah.
Would they keep
Luke, Patrick?
Patrick and McCray could be on the definitely.
And Amici
definitely.
As well?
Amici, I don't know. Boy, they kind of gave up on him.
I think it's a swing and a miss, honestly.
Yeah, I think that's one of those ones where, admit your mistake and move on.
Reggie Gilbert, does he clear waivers?
Yes. I don't see anything special about him. Even if he got picked up, I don't think you're losing a potential 12-sack guy or something. I think he'd be okay.
And then last one, I think they'd kill to get Christian Ringo through waivers if they could.
Yeah, if they could.
But I don't see it.
I don't see it happening either. And also the quarterback thing is going to be interesting to see. You know, they could cut both Callahan and Hill and see
and re-sign
which
both of them.
Well, or see which one gets picked up. Maybe Hill gets picked up and they go with Callahan as their practice squad guy, or vice versa. You know, I do want to see Hill one more time, because if he can lead a third string offense to a touchdown again or play as well as he did, then I think you got to find a spot for him on the roster.
Well, I think you said it best. I think it was either last week or the week before that, you know, Callahan's probably the better player right now because he's been more comfortable, but the upside with Taysom Hill is off the charts relative to Callahan.
Yeah, it is. That his arm, his running ability. He's 27 years old.
He's older than Callahan.
Yeah. He's a pretty mature guy. He seems pretty bright. I'm just always enamored by guys who find a way to get the ball in the end zone when they're playing with a bunch of scrubs, and that's what he's done twice.
It'll be really interesting to see. Well, as we mentioned, later today is the last public practice. It's a busy day. We've got McCarthy, a practice, a locker room, the coaches. It's going to be a long night.
I'm going to start brewing some coffee right now.
All right, sounds good. So we will be back tomorrow morning. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you soon. Back in the atmosphere, I'm afraid.